talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday. Friday, February the 6th, 2026, 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Exchange Club. Scott Spears along with Matt Morgan. Matt, read the big announcement coming up next Friday.
Oh, I gotta grab it over the microphone.
Oh, you gotta be ready.
There we go. Well, I wasn't. You didn't tell me I was gonna read it, but all right.
It's there.
Yes. All right. Lee Street Presbyterian Church is going to be holding their Women's Association's annual soup supper at 455 Lee Street here in Marion. It's going to be Friday, February 13th of this year, obviously. Serving from 4 to 7. The cost is just a donation. They have a big menu including homemade chili, vegetable and chicken noodle soup, possibly potato soup, and some sandwich type things. They have desserts, punch, and coffee available as well. And they said if weather is bad, they will reschedule for February the 20th. So I guess if they reschedule, we should hopefully get an update.
Well, and remember to tune in tonight, 8:15 to 10. We've got a huge show planned that we cannot tell you about, but it's going to be something very unique tonight, starting at 8:15. We had a great show last week, Keith Faber and Larry Merchant and the PETA people. There wasn't enough time in last week's show.
Yeah, could have just extended it.
And then you'll be on at 10 tonight.
Yep.
Talking about?
Football. So the coaching carousel. The coaching carousel, the Super Bowl.
That's
coming
the
up.
Dumbest thing.
I'll probably talk about the Pro Bowl, but Pro Bowl's kind of boring in my opinion, but it's there. So I'll talk about it.
And should mention the phone lines are open here today, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We were playing a lot of stuff there, and there's something a few weeks ago. Remember when Dick Van Dyke turned 100? And I said Andy Griffith got stuck with a song that wherever he was, no matter the situation, he had to sing.
Yeah.
And we couldn't find the song at that time. I finally found it. But Andy Griffith, when he was young, he did a really young, before the Andy Griffith Show, the thing that made him famous, he was in it was a play on Broadway, then it was also a movie. And it was called No Time for Sergeants. And in there, he had a song called, I think the name of it's Whoa Mule is the name of the song. And he sings it in that play. I mean, this is like the 50s. And then when he did the Andy Griffith Show, every so often he would have to sing it for no apparent reason on the Andy Griffith Show. And he'd go on a talk show and they'd want him to sing it. And he'd go to the Grand Ole Opry and they'd want him to sing it. And it got so bad on Matlock. He sang it on Matlock. No reason for this to be sung on Matlock when he's a lawyer for 8 years, but he would have to sing it. He guest starred on Dick Van Dyke's Diagnosis Murder. Now, he's just a guest star as Matlock for two episodes, just a guest spot. And at the end, there's a running joke. I have to set this up for you. There's a running joke. This is the payoff to the joke. The thing is all throughout the episode, Andy Griffith is holding something against Dick Van Dyke's character that happened years earlier in their life. You know, and Dick Van Dyke's trying to give him back money, and Andy Griffith won't take it. He just keeps holding it over his head, and blah, 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 blah. So we finally find out in the next to last scene of the episode is what happened was, back when they were both younger, Andy Griffith met up with Dick Van Dyke's character, and Dick Van Dyke's character told Andy Griffith, who was a young lawyer at the time, to invest all his money in 8-Trex because they were going to be the biggest thing. And Andy Griffith did, and he said they were the biggest thing for about a minute. And then he lost all his money, and he said that's why he ended up eating hot dogs because that's all he could afford and wore cheap suits and so on and so forth. So there was a big payoff. That was the end of the episode. And then, but just for no reason, they said, now what can we do for some real fun? And then here came this scene, of course, to end the episode. And this is Dick Van Dyke in... because Dick Van Dyke played a doctor in Diagnosis Murder, if you don't remember. This is Dick Van Dyke and Andy Griffith as Matlock. Last scene of this episode in with a bunch of children in the hospital. Children who are sick. But here's what happened.
Have that old banjo is all strung up with twine. And only song you could hear me sing was "Wish That Gal Was Mine." Well, I wish that gal was mine, boy. I wish that gal was mine. And only song you could hear me sing was "Wish That Gal Was Mine." Well, I took my wife to the barnyard. I set her down to supper. She got choked on a turkey leg and stuck her nose in the butter. Well, I stuck her nose in the butter and stuck her nose in the butter. She got choked on a turkey leg and stuck her nose in the butter. Well, your face is like a coffee pot, your nose is like a spout, your mouth is like a fireplace with all the ashes out. Well, with all the ashes out, boys, with all the ashes out, your mouth is like a fireplace with all the ashes out. Well, oh, mule, you kicking you, oh, mule, I say, I ain't got time to kiss you now, my mule, but run away.
Now, explain to me what the point of that was at the end of that episode.
Singing to the kids in the hospital, I guess.
Well, you had to get Andy Griffith to sing that song. You had to work that in somehow.
You ever think you get tired of it?
Oh, you always probably do.
They'll sing this song, like, oh.
But you know all the words.
Again?
You know, we've had a lot of conversations recently about sincerity and insincerity on this show.
Yeah?
I like that. It's a good topic.
Okay.
You don't think so?
Well, I mean, it's all right, yeah.
Now, I will tell you, this week I got a card in the mail.
Yeah?
And I'm not big on cards. I mean, it's nice if somebody wants to send you a card. But I got a card in the mail, and it was very nice and nicely written, and the person did not even tell me they were going to send the card. Now, to me... that is sincere.
I'd agree.
Yeah. Now, this whole bit that you do, let me know if you need anything. Well, no, that's not sincere. I'd rather have the card.
I wouldn't. There are all kinds of people who have problems who I would never be like, oh, just let me know if you need anything. It's a lie.
But what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Okay, I need something.
Well, I'll help you.
Okay. What?
I mean, it depends on what you need help with, I guess.
I don't know. I had an episode recently with this.
I said, I mean, I have a friend who all the time will just, you know, call me when I don't know, they're upset for whatever reason.
I think I made somebody angry again recently. I'm not sure how it happens anymore, to be honest with you. I don't even know. You know?
Well, I mean, no.
I the last time we had a falling out, I wasn't sure what had happened.
You could just ask.
You remember what the last falling out was about?
Yeah.
Silliness. Now, this time, I really have no idea.
Ask.
Eh.
I mean, if you want to know, then ask.
I don't really want to know. It's just topic of conversation here during this hour.
No, fair enough.
You got to kill some time.
I mean, I don't know. If people hold grudges. I don't know why.
Just this person.
Well,
I have nobody else who I have issues with like that.
Oh, well, I mean...
isn't that weird?
Well, I just mean in general. In general, there are people who hold grudges. They exist.
I mean, you've been coming here for what now? 2 years?
Three.
Not yet.
Well, we're pushing three.
May. Now, have we ever had a time, like a miscommunication like this?
I don't think so.
Okay. So, my question would be, why this person... all the time.
I don't know. I think they might read into it too much.
I don't know what it is, but it's weird. It's just weird.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I think they probably just read into the messages too far.
You know, I have to believe it's them. Because... no, because it's one of those situations where my relationships with other people seem to be fine. But with this person, there's always a problem.
Yeah.
Now, yet, you would consider it an acquaintance. even though there is problem.
I think that this person just considers you guys closer than you consider you guys.
Well, no, see, no. I don't think that's it.
Why? I don't know. I think that's it.
Well, maybe they would never admit to that.
Well, I'd agree. Yeah, they probably wouldn't.
No, they got an ego. Oh, Lord. You know, I shouldn't have said that because I said that a few weeks ago and they didn't like that. See, there we go. That's how I get into trouble.
Well, it'll be all right.
But if I said you had an ego, you wouldn't care, would you?
I mean, you know, what you percent? It's what you think, I guess.
Right.
I mean, you know.
And I don't think ego is always a bad thing.
Well, no. I mean, it can be a bad thing. Ego is good sometimes.
I think if it makes you confident.
Yeah.
And it keeps others from bringing you down.
You just can't have like a you know, massive ego.
No, you don't want to look down on people.
Yeah.
And think you're better than people. That's the bad ego. But feeling confident about yourself and thinking you can do things better than other people, I think that's okay. You don't have to tell them you can do it better than them.
Well,
but
yeah, I wouldn't recommend,
in your own mind.
I wouldn't recommend bullying anybody. Yeah, that's not great.
Well, I don't even know if that's a bullying thing. I think it's just an arrogant.
It's just
if you have to tell somebody you can do it better than them, that's arrogance. Even if you can.
Well, I just mean in general, I wouldn't suggest, like, I don't know, insulting people, attacking people.
Well, the interesting thing is, you know, here's what I always say to this person, that what's that new term people like to use? It never tracks.
Oh, yes.
It never tracks. It doesn't track. This is what doesn't track. I have had so many good and personal moments with this person that I don't know how they could think that I was so disengaged or out to insult them for real. It wouldn't track. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, maybe they have a fragile ego.
Well, I mean, I do all these good things. I give all this praise. No matter how much praise I give or how many good things I say or how many personally nice things I do, one bad thing, and it's all forgotten. That's who I really am, the bad person. Now, that doesn't track.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
So, you know, that's why I think there's something wrong there.
Well, I think, like I said, I mean, it's got to be an ego thing. I mean, if it bothers them that much when you say it, and it's, most of the time they're not even negative comments, they're just comments that they perceive as negative.
Right. So again, I don't understand it. And last time I said they weren't listening, they got angry about that. But I really don't think they're listening at this point anymore. Because I think, you know, again, we had some kind of falling out that I'm not aware of. But it just doesn't track.
I'd agree, I guess. I mean, I don't see a reason as to why, you know,
if somebody is
talking to you.
If somebody's perpetually nice to you, and then in one instance they're not so nice to you. Oh, here we go. Greatness shows and speaks for itself. Most great people don't feel the need to tell you, except Muhammad Ali.
Tyson thought he felt the need to tell everybody he was great.
Yeah, but Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time. So, worked for him.
Mike Tyson did the same thing.
Now, Mike Tyson did do it like Muhammad Ali did.
Conor McGregor did a lot of the same thing.
But Muhammad Ali was new, and people hated him for it. But then later, they loved him for it because he backed it up.
Well, that's how you do it.
And he could back it up. I recently watched a thing on Muhammad Ali. He was fascinating.
I like Muhammad Ali.
I mean, the George Foreman fight will live forever. The fact that nobody thought he could beat George Foreman at that age and stage of his career. And he won that fight. Unbelievable. I mean, it destroyed George Foreman.
How?
How to Destroy Him?
Yeah.
He was supposed to be the big invincible, and Muhammad Ali beat him, and it just humiliated him.
You'll lose fights sometimes. You'll have that.
George Foreman disappeared for like 10 years, gained some weight, shaved his head, became a preacher. Didn't come back to boxing for years and years.
He literally retired. He said, oh, I'm done.
Yeah. And then that night, and I remember watching it on HBO, Foreman versus Michael Moore.
Is that when he returned?
Yeah, he was back at that. He'd been back about 8 or 10 years at that point. But when he knocks him out, nobody thought that that could happen. Nobody thought that that was a possibility.
What, that Foreman knocks out Michael Moore?
Knocks out Michael Moore. I mean, they thought he was old, and this wasn't going to happen, and there's no way. And if you just listen to the crowd, this was interesting, because I think it was something like 20 years to the day that he had lost to Muhammad Ali. And Foreman was in his 40s, and Michael Moore had beat Evander Holyfield, and Holyfield had beat Foreman not too long before this, and Foreman was old, and they called him... I mean, I remember Larry Merchant saying something like, George Foreman is seen more as King Khan than King Kong anymore. Because he was selling, you know, those things, and his boxing career was pretty well over. And just listen to this crowd. I mean, it was right around, it was like the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And this was on HBO, so it wasn't pay-per-view. You could watch it on cable. And this is Foreman and Michael Moore, one of the most unbelievable moments. And he had the tights on that he wore in the Muhammad Ali fight 20 years earlier. Perfect. Here it is. Foreman and Michael Moore.
It's still that left jab. That's the one punch he's been able to score with. They just scored with it again. He can still snap a left jab out, but not do much else.
Moore with a heavy shot on the hip from Foreman, and as he took that blow below the belt, Joe Cortez walked casually past Foreman and said, George, don't do that. Right hand landed there. And another. And a right and a left, and suddenly Moore stopped punting, and it's Foreman's initiative.
And there's that competitive spirit of George is coming out again. He feels he's nailed Moore with a good punch, and he's a good finisher. He knows how to do it, but he's in with a tough guy.
And remember, Atlas told Moore, George is going to try to find the moment here to steal the crowd and get them psyched up. That looked like it might have been it for a while, but now George stops punching again. And takes jabs for his trouble. Waiting in to set up a left hook, and another left hook. And another left hook shot that missed.
George is so tired, though, Jim. If he misses a punch, he goes completely off balance. I have to give him all the credit in the world, but again, he's a 45-year-old man in a young man's game. But look at that competitive spirit coming out now.
Great right hand landing for Foreman. He's had a pretty good round here at number 10.
Again, Atlas didn't counter. Atlas, here we go again with the Atlas. And Michael Moore is down.
Goes Moore on a right hand. An unbelievably close in right hand shot. Four,
six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
It happens. It happens.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Here's a guy I said, was a clubber. Championship again. This is a really remarkable achievement, and it has to stand on its own. We're in a show and tell medium, and show does it all.
Yeah. That was an unbelievable moment in sports. And there was Larry Merchant.
That's nice.
What do you say? This was a 10-1 fight, but in my mind it was a gazillion to one. That's a good line.
I think so, yeah.
Show and tell business, so we'll just show.
It wasn't even a big punch. I mean, he delivered like a left and then a right and then a left and then a right and then a left. Then he went down the third right. So I was like, okay. I mean,
nobody saw that coming.
I mean, big man to be punching people, though. I mean, he's a big fellow.
Well, but he was old, too, at that point.
Well,
he'd been going for 10 rounds.
Well, they were both pretty tired. I mean, they were just kind of eating punches. I mean, any punch that was thrown, it looked like it was landing.
Well, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Just a fun moment to revisit there.
Boxing is good. I like boxing.
Well, that sports... Nobody would watch sports taped. You know, it's a live thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no point in watching a rerun. You already know who won the game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it's a weird thing. But do you think the... completely different subject. Do you think the Clintons will be allowed to testify on tape? Live. No, live. See, I'd like to see that live.
I'm sure they will. I mean, you know... I think it'd look pretty bad for the House Oversight Committee to deny that.
Well, I think they're in a bad spot now.
Well, what did they think was going to happen? You threatened to put them in jail. Or prison, I guess.
I just think they've made a terrible, terrible mistake.
Well, they got what they wanted, I guess.
Did they?
Well, I mean...
I think they just wanted to threaten.
Well, they certainly got him.
Because how do you not put it on television now?
I mean, that's my point. I think they will.
After Hillary Clinton's called him out.
Oh, they do all kinds of things after people call him out, I guess.
Yeah, but how's that going to look? I mean, because
good.
But I mean, doesn't this prove to you that there really is no dirt on the Clintons? Why would they want to do it in front of live cameras if there was some dirt?
Well, because it's going to be... Either they're going to fall... I mean, if they have anything to hide, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I haven't really looked at the files all that much. But, should they have anything to hide, I assume they're going to follow the same playbook as everybody else. They're going to deny and then deflect blame, pretty much.
Yeah, but if you got to have some proof. I mean, what is the point of this whole...
Well, I mean, they're in the files.
Right, but I mean, if you didn't do anything, what's the point?
Well, I guess that's what they're going to find out.
Okay.
I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Listen, if there's anybody who knows anything about perjury, it's Bill Clinton. He was
that's
impeached
right.
for it.
Yes, he was.
He knows how not to perjure himself. He wouldn't make that mistake twice in his life.
Well...
I don't know.
I mean, you know, I know that, I don't think it was Bill or Hillary. I think it was like one of their press people, but they still have press people after all this time, by the way. Isn't that interesting?
Well, there were the president and the first lady and the secretary of state and the senator and a candidate for president.
Yeah, but did like Jimmy Carter before he died have press people?
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's crazy. But, anyways, you know, I know that Clinton's... press people, I do believe it was the press people at least, basically said that they should, they called on Donald Trump to release all of the files that had anything to do with Bill or Hillary unredacted.
Doesn't that tell you something?
In its entirety, because they have, like, nothing to hide.
I don't think they do.
And then called on Donald Trump to do the same.
Well, again, you got to remember that Bill Clinton was president. This was after his presidency. So he knows how not to get in trouble. At that point, he's not going to do anything that's going to put himself in jeopardy. His people aren't going to let him do stuff. I mean, he has Secret Service protection at that point. Here's a offbeat story. J-Lo, you know who J-Lo is?
Mm-hmm.
She was recently asked if she talks to any of her exes. And boy, does she have a lot of them. And she said they're all dead to her.
That's nice.
They're all dead to her. So do you go by that rule, J-Lo's rule?
No. I mean, I don't go out of my way to talk to him, I guess. But, you know, if I saw him, I could, you know, I like to think I'm polite. You know, how's it going? You know. Oh, I haven't seen you in forever. How you been? That kind of thing.
Cordial.
Yeah, cordial.
Cordial. Well, it's nice if you can be cordial.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's hard to be cordial.
Oh, yes. For some people, it is.
Lisa, how's it going? Haven't seen you in a while. Nice to see you. And then you keep moving.
Well, why do you think she says they're dead to her?
I don't know. I mean... That's pretty... I mean, I guess it's not un...
Some people are like that.
Yeah, though. I mean, it's not unthinkable. I mean, there are people who are like that, but I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that she'd be able to be cordial. If she saw him, I'm sure she'd be like, you know, oh, you know, how's it going? But I don't... I just don't think that she thinks about him or goes out of her way to talk to them.
Doesn't... to me, that shows some kind of a lack of communication.
What, they're dead to me?
Yeah. Yeah. Because you allegedly love this person at one point.
Yes, that's right.
And you're spending all your time with them. And then clearly you have some deep feelings for them if you can't talk to them again.
Yeah, there's a lot of anger there, I'd assume.
Yeah, why anger?
Well, I mean, I don't know why anger.
Do we really need to have anger in society? More anger?
Probably not.
You know, I was thinking about this, and some people from my past are actually dead. So, you know, you really can't talk to them, unless you have a Ouija board.
Well, isn't that interesting, I guess?
So there you go.
You got just nice.
But I did go to the funeral.
There you go. Isn't that nice?
So I think that shows I'm a big person.
Why? Were you invited to the funeral, or did you just show up?
Well, I don't know if you get invitations to a funeral. You ever get an invitation to a funeral?
I don't know. Not many people have died in my life.
It's not like a wedding. Here's your invitation. Make sure you show up. No. No, I think I went. I thought it was the proper thing to do.
Well, I mean, a lot of a lot of funerals are like, you know, family-only kind of things. That's basically invitation. I mean, you know who family
no,
is.
No, nobody said that. I mean, there were people there.
Okay. All right.
We had all worked together at one point.
Oh. I see.
But I went.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, it's too bad she had went on to her reward, but...
yes, that's no good.
But I showed up.
That's nice.
So I don't know where that figures in the dead to you category. I mean, she really was.
Well, at that point, you know, I think it's okay.
I was pretty sure we weren't going to have a conversation that day. Conversation had ended.
Yeah.
It happens.
I guess, yeah. How old is J-Lo now?
She's getting on in years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel terrible, though, because I'm still thinking about poor Mrs. Guthrie.
You know, that's rough.
Yes, the woman needs to turn up.
Look, I don't know. She's got a lot of problems, I guess, but you know. I would think that if I were in the business of kidnapping someone, I would, you know, it probably wouldn't be somebody who had so many needs.
I think they took the wrong person, and poor if this woman's went on to her reward. I hope not.
Never mind. Again, I thought that for a second, I forgot that she lived separately from everybody else. But
apparently, Harvey Levin is saying more. But I'll tell you, give this guy a ransom note and look what happens. Let's see here. Apparently, he was on CNN this morning. And the letter included two deadlines. One that had been for 5 p.m. Thursday and one this coming Monday. Harvey shared, the Monday deadline is far more consequential. The letter says, you will have no way of contacting me. This is the only contact. So that is why we are pleading for proof of life. That is why they are begging because they have no idea how to get in touch with this person. Okay.
Wait, I'm confused. So they so the person who kidnapped him wants like a, I don't know, $1 million in Bitcoin or whatever.
Well, how do you get it to him?
Yeah, but I mean, you gotta have a like a wallet or something for me to send it to.
Apparently, in the letter, they mention the Apple Watch and the floodlight. They do mention something else, which is the placement of the Apple Watch. And if that placement is accurate, I'm sure that is something that puts this letter on the FBI's radar.
What? How does the placement of a watch have put it on the FBI's radar?
Well, if maybe it was there in the house. I don't know. You know, what do you do? I mean, if you're her family, what in the world do you do?
I don't know. I mean, apparently they want $1 million in Bitcoin. I don't know how you get them $1 million in Bitcoin if you can't contact them. I mean, I guess you don't need to contact them directly, but they need to give you a wallet or something, in which case you would have to contact them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't even know how you do this.
So, I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
And how do you know she's alive?
Well,
I mean, where are you going to find her? Just going to let her go?
Well, I'm sure she knows where she's going. Well, maybe. I don't know. Because if she knows where she's going, then you done messed up. Because now she's going to lead them right back to you.
See, that's what I say. I don't know how this ends well.
Kidnapping doesn't make any sense to me. Kidnapping is too complicated a scheme.
Well, if the deadline's coming up on... See, and also, if you give somebody a deadline, isn't that bad?
Well, I don't...
Because they also know that's when the cops, you know, they're after you before that deadline. You gotta know that.
Well, I'm sure they're gonna be after you after the deadline. I don't think that makes a difference.
Do you think they like that Harvey Levin is out on television, every network possible, talking about this?
Who is Harvey Levin?
Runs TMZ.
Well, you know, it's the TMZ guy, I guess. You know, that sounds about right.
Don't send your ransom notes to TMZ, I guess is what we all learn here.
Yep, sounds about on par.
You know, this might have been screwed up from the... I think people are going to look back on this and say, boy, we screwed this up.
Well, I mean, how are you going to send a ransom letter to a news outlet?
See, but how are you supposed to pay? Let's say you want to do it.
Well, I mean, again, I mean, they need to give you a wallet to send the cryptocurrency, the Bitcoin, to. So if you don't have a way to contact them and they didn't already give you a
maybe it's in the ransom
like
note.
A wallet. I mean,
I'm sure the FBI has talked to Harvey Levin.
I'm sure the FBI's seen the ransom letter.
Right, but I'm sure they've told him, don't talk about this on television, don't talk about this, and maybe that's one of the things, how to pay.
I'm sure they gave... I mean, if they want Bitcoin, I mean, like, again, you have to have a wallet.
Well, the family's ready to talk, so why don't they just show that she's alive and then... See, I don't even know how you get... I mean...
I don't know. I mean...
What are you going to do, take a video of her? And how do you know that wasn't taken right before you killed her?
How are you going to take a video of somebody and send it out? I mean, at that point, I mean, they can, like, trace that back.
Boy, I'll tell you.
Damn,
it's getting ugly.
I don't think that... Look, I don't know. Whoever kidnapped this woman, I don't think thought it out thoroughly.
Well, yeah, but how do you end? How's it going to end? They're just going to kill her Monday?
I wouldn't think they're going to kill her.
Just going to let her go. Would you risk that with your mother?
Probably not, but I mean, I don't know.
There's got to be a way to pay the ransom, or this makes no sense.
I would figure they gave, I mean, again, if they want Bitcoin, I assume that they gave some kind of wallet. But I mean, the FBI, I assume, I mean, it's difficult to do.
But they're saying, the family's saying they're ready to talk. So I guess that's a deal.
I guess. Well, I don't know. I mean, by the way, did this late? Who sent the letter to TMZ?
Well, the kidnappers, I guess.
Okay. What is, I don't see.
Who else would send it?
See, that, I don't understand. See, that's why it doesn't make any sense. Because if I were going to send a ransom letter to somebody, I wouldn't send it to a news outlet. I'd send it to somebody who was going to pay the ransom. And then, like,
well, where?
Because what did you expect? Of course, the cops. I mean, I guess the cops might get involved.
Well, they've
got
to know that Savannah Guthrie's. They probably don't have her address.
I guess.
I mean, you'd probably want to send it to the media before you'd send it to the police.
Well, I wouldn't send it to the police in general. I mean, they're going to get it from the media.
I don't know. It's all kinds of screwed up.
I don't know. Like I said, kidnapping doesn't make any sense to me. It's too much complexity that needs to happen.
Well, not really. I mean, show that she's alive, they pay, and then you release her.
Yeah, but then, like, again, like you said, what are the odds? I mean, like, I could always just pay... And then never, then she's never released.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's where it's all screwed up, is that you got to provide some proof that she's alive. Usually there's like a phone call or something.
But if you have a phone, they can trace phone calls.
Right, but you can drop the phone right there. Phones are disposable.
Yeah, you can buy, yeah, burner phones. You can buy a burner phone.
Yeah, there you go.
But, I mean, they're going to know where you called from.
The FBI doesn't know any. Do you know who's running the FBI now? Kesh Patel? Do you think he knows his up from his down and left from his right?
I'd hope so.
Oh, yeah, he's done a terrific job so far. He's no J. Edgar Hoover, I'll tell you that.
No, he's certainly not.
Maybe that's the problem.
I'm sure Hoover would have had this all sorted out by now.
Hoover knew everybody.
Well, you know, I think he had blackmail on a lot of people. You know, he was there for a long time.
Well, why don't you get it to TM? Send it to another media outlet. I mean, obviously you wouldn't send it to the same one because I'm sure the FBI is tracking that.
Yeah.
So you'd have to send it to just like some weird media outlet. I don't know.
Well, is there not like a... Like a sender's address on the...
Yeah, I'm sure they put their return address on there.
Like, I mean...
Kidnappers at P.O. Box 17.
How do you send something to...
They probably sent it from an email somewhere. They probably did that.
Did it from an email?
Yeah, because by the time TMZ gets what it is and calls the FBI, they're not going to be anywhere near that anymore.
It's a mess. Big mess.
It is a mess, and I don't know how you get out of it. I mean, okay, pay, and she comes back. Okay, but we don't know if she's alive. Or wait for Monday?
Well, I don't think...
This woman's going to die eventually, because the woman has had no medication. She's bled. She has not been to a hospital. Somebody of that age is not going to live forever in this condition.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how vital medicine is, I guess, but I think
for an 85-year-old, vital.
like
woman's got a pacemaker.
I understand, but like if you don't take, I mean, I understand that now you should definitely be taking your medicine when you're suggested to. But like if you didn't take your medicine for a week, is it really like life or death?
Yes. For some people.
That's crazy. That's rough.
Get a blood clot? You could get... And what are you going to do? Do you think they're going to not call 911? She has a heart attack or something?
Well, if she has a heart attack, I mean, I'm not calling 911.
Right. That's the medicine problem. Or has a stroke. You know she's got to be under some serious stress.
I mean, maybe I'll, like... I could always just drop her off somewhere and call 911.
I mean, how bad must you feel, you know, if you're her family, knowing that the letter says she's safe but scared? Your mother.
Well, I'd imagine she's scared.
Yeah, but I'm understanding your family hearing that.
And I don't think safe belongs in the sentence.
Well, I guess safe is she's fine. She's alive.
Unharmed.
Yeah. I don't know.
They need some better English in the.
We can find the guy in Venezuela and drag him out in the middle of the night, but we can't find.
Well, I think we know where he lives.
85-year-old woman.
We don't know where they are or who they are.
Nobody was driving in that neighborhood at 1 o'clock in the morning. There are no cameras on any street lights or doorbell cameras or anything.
I'm sure they would have looked or asked or, you know.
Well, boy, I tell you, this must have been the cleanest crime there ever was.
I mean, it's not impossible. I mean, now, like, for instance, like, the FBI sent out, like, a warning letter to the NFL that the NFL then distributed to the teams that then distributed it to the players. And the letter was basically talking about how there was some like, international organized, like burglary ring. And, like, I don't remember who all's houses got robbed, but lots of people's houses got robbed. NBA players, football players.
But I'm talking about 5 days after the woman turned up missing. There have been ransom notes. They know to the minute that cameras stopped working and pacemaker things were shut off and Apple watches.
Well, that's all electronic. It'll note everything that does
that. Right, but they have all this information and they can't come up with anything in 5 days?
People are good at crime.
Matt wants better grammar from the kidnappers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think people... I hope they find her.
Yes, I also hope they find the woman.
Because that's the only way this is going to end well.
Well, that's... Yeah, I'd agree to that. That's agreeable.
Because I don't know... Maybe they've already paid. Because I don't know that they would make that public. If they paid. I'm sure they wouldn't.
Why? They're gonna get back.
Well, they're gonna say we paid $1 million. Now where is she? No, you're not gonna say that on television. The FBI is not gonna let you say that on television.
I think if you paid them $1 million,
because if you spook those kidnappers, bad things can happen.
Well, yeah, I mean they're kidnappers.
Right.
The FBI is already involved. Kidnappers done messed up.
Well, what were they gonna do? How are you gonna keep that silent?
Not send it to a news outlet.
Well, where do you send it?
If it's a family member, then I assume they have a way, like I assume they have addresses or something of somebody else. Like, I wouldn't have sent it to a news outlet. You're going to instantly...
Well, they did it for some reason.
The feds involved.
They did it for some reason.
Yes, yeah.
Or maybe that's not real. Unless the Apple Watch... thing is true, and then...
What is the Apple Watch thing? That doesn't even
Well, apparently there's something about placement of it. And I guess if the kidnappers placed it in a certain place and then wrote in the letter that this is where we placed it, well, they would know. Who else would know that?
Oh, I see.
You would not work for the FBI. You wouldn't have a good job there.
Well, I missed what you...
what do you think I was talking about when I was talking
well,
about...
Cause it was
it's a kidnapper's letter, and they're talking about placement of an Apple Watch. What do you think they meant?
That's why I was confused. I didn't know it was in the letter.
They would have been there when they took it
off. I didn't know it was in the letter.
Oh, don't get a job with the FBI. I think you.
I haven't seen the letter.
Neither have I. I'm just telling.
Well, I need to read.
If Harvey Levin is saying they talk about placement of an Apple Watch, it doesn't take a genius to find out that they took the Apple Watch off her, so if they're talking about that in the letter, it probably is to say this is where we laid it to show legitimacy.
Because previously there was somebody who mentioned like a watch on a nightstand or something. So I thought that, like, I was like, what does the watch on the nightstand have to do with
it? I don't think anybody said anything about a nightstand. I think we said the thing was disconnected, the pacemaker thing.
Yeah, I guess. But I thought,
I'm sure it was some. Well, the people have to prove that it's not a forgery, so they have to have some information that nobody else would know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't give the public all the information.
Not the public, the family, and I'm sure that's what that is. This is where.
FBI wouldn't
don't
give
work
the
on any cases.
Yes, the FBI.
Oh, would. Lord.
Yes, you keep the evidence to yourself. That's usually how that works.
No, I'm saying.
I'm confused what you're saying.
The ransom letter was sent in.
Okay, got that.
You have to prove in that ransom letter that you're not phony, that you really do have her.
Uh-huh.
So you've got to give the family some kind of information that only you would know as the kidnapper. So where you laid the Apple Watch would be something only you would know. You couldn't find that out on television. So if you said, I laid it on the kitchen cabinet closest to the door, that would pretty well make you a legitimate person. Because how would you know that?
I don't know.
Guess?
I mean, you could have just you could have just seen it. I don't know. I mean,
let's hope she's found today.
I mean, you'd have to, you know, I guess break in to see it, but
how would you know to break in? There's no reason for you to break in. Oh,
what?
If you're right.
Well, obviously they were planning on kidnapping the woman.
Okay. I hope that people come back tonight because we got a big show at 8 o'clock. Big thing happening tonight. You want to tune in at 8 o'clock for, and then more of this discussion at 9 o'clock. Oh, I hope they've just found her and we can come back and say that.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Would. Have a great day. Avoid the snow. Stay safe. Roads are looking pretty good, my understanding is.
That's good.
And actually, the temp is 26, so much better than it was yesterday. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
To the original Doctor of Love, Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
This is an important point.